This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Before it was published as Pride and Prejudice in 1813, Jane Austen's enduring novel of manners was called First Impressions, a working title referring to that first encounter between protagonist Elizabeth Bennet and the wealthy, condescending Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy, which, as first impressions go, was pretty abysmal.
Well, did you ever meet such a proud, disagreeable man?
Ma, he will leave you.
I don't care if he does.
A clip there from the 1995 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, which cast a young, dishy Colin Firth as Darcy. As two centuries of readers and fans know, that train wreck of a meeting evolves into one of literature's most celebrated romances, an idea picked up by Charlotte Bronte in her novel Jane Eyre, where the title character utters these words to Rochester, the man she would eventually marry.
I am not deceitful. If I were, I should say I loved you, but I declare I do not love you. I dislike you the worst of anybody in the world.
Bad impressions have become a reliable formula across literature, film, television, and pop songs. Female protagonist meets pompous jerk, only to fall madly in love with him when his sensitive side is eventually revealed. Princess Leia, Maria von Trapp, Bridget Jones, all of them wind up with men who at first made very bad impressions.
Apparently, she lives just round the corner from you.
Mother, I do not need a blind date, particularly not with some verbally incontinent spinster who smokes like a chimney, drinks like a fish, and dresses like her mother.
Yummy. Turkey curry. My favorite.
It works because all of us have gotten on the wrong foot at some point or another, clammed up in front of a cute boy or girl, said something regrettable at a job interview, or mixed up a cocktail party with a costume party. Well, today's show is all about bad impressions, and we're starting with that very first encounter, the one that tends to go wrong in romantic comedies. And contrary to what you might read in novels or see on TV, a fumbled first impression is not very likely to turn into a love story for the ages.
Individuals make impressions and judgments of other people very quickly, very easily, and with very minimal information. And then once those judgments are made, they tend to be hard to undo. They're quite sticky.
Vivian Zayas is a psychologist and director of the Personality, Attachment, and Control Laboratory at Cornell University. She's done some work studying the science behind first impressions. So we make snap judgments about others. What are we judging? Likability, looks? How do those figure in?
Those are primary dimensions on which other people are judged. Attractiveness is one. Gender, is the person that you're interacting with, a male or a female. Ethnicity, race, but also we judge things that go beyond sort of these very physical, very obvious characteristics such as gender. We judge things that are much more ambiguous, personality traits such as whether someone's extroverted. We judge sexual orientation that we would think would be hard to judge simply by looking at a person's face. We judge whether someone's trustworthy, whether they're warm, whether they're competent. All by just simply looking at a photograph of a person's face presented for a fraction of a second.
So what's more likely to have a longer lasting effect, a really great first impression or a really bad one?
In general, negative impressions are stickier than positive impressions. Part of the reason is that a lot of people make very positive first impressions. People are in general, very polite. Very kind and considerate. That's sort of the norm. And so it's not very diagnostic when someone says, hi, how are you doing? What is diagnostic if someone isn't polite, is rude? That stands out more and it's more informative. Another possibility for why the negative evaluations might be stickier is that they're more costly if we fail to make them. So if we fail to evaluate someone as untrustworthy, and they are in fact untrustworthy, they might turn around and do us harm. So those tend to be stickier from that evolutionary account.
What about interactions that come after the initial judgment made on a person's character? Any ideas about what it takes to actually change or reverse a bad first impression?
There's some work, a recent work by Nick Rule from the University of Toronto, and he was looking at sexual orientation judgments. And what we know is that people make judgments of another person's sexual orientation. They do that very quickly based on very little information. When people were given more information that was either consistent or inconsistent with that initial judgment, so say that they initially thought someone was gay, and then later on they learned that that person was actually straight, they were able to correct for their initial judgment, but it took a little bit more work. And if they were under pressure, they reverted back to their initial judgment that was incorrect. So you can undo it with a little bit of effort, but when push comes to shove, you end up going back to that initial evaluation, because that initial evaluation is based on a gut reaction that one has, and those are very difficult to change. We also know that certain people are more open to new information, to learning about new information about a particular person. And when people who are more open to this information are more likely to change their initial impressions compared to individuals who are less open.
When I was reading about your research, I thought of some of the ideas in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink. You know that book? So he presented two arguments about our ability to make snap judgments. You know, one, that they are surprisingly accurate, and two, that there can be dire consequences when we are wrong. Now, what do you think about the value then of going with your gut?
Yeah. So what we see in our research is that when we're talking about characteristics such as trustworthiness, sexual orientation, things that are much more subtle to detect, that we tend to be more accurate. So we're above chance. So say, for example, in sexual orientation, if we're presented with a photograph of a person, we're above chance at judging whether they're gay or straight. We're about 60%. But 60%, it doesn't make us accurate in the sense. So if we think about a true false test, a history exam, and if someone were to be asked 100 questions that are true or false and they got a 60 on that exam, well, one would say, well, you were better than chance at your knowledge of history, but you're certainly not very competent, or you don't have a mastery of the information. There's much room for improvement. And the same thing with judgments of trustworthiness. There's research showing that we're not very accurate at judging whether another person's trustworthy or not. Many people will agree on who looks like a trustworthy person and who does not look like a trustworthy person. But whether those individuals are actually trustworthy or not is a completely different issue than whether we think they are trustworthy, if that makes sense. So Bernie Madoff was judged by many people as being trustworthy. Mm-hmm. They trusted him with his money, but he in fact was not trustworthy. So there was a lot of consensus that he looked trustworthy, but just because there's consensus doesn't mean that these judgments are actually accurate.
Vivian Zayas is a psychologist and director of the Personality, Attachment, and Control Laboratory at Cornell University. She's done a lot of research on the science behind first and lasting impressions.